Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Friday edition of the Eagle Hour. It seems like Monday. That could be because of football, Dima Mixon. Welcome back to the show. We're glad you're with us. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Corps studio here in Hattiesburg, and the opening segment of our show is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. I've been waiting all evening to say this. 4-2 on the year. After going 1-11, the Golden Eagles are 4-2, 38-35 win last night. Over in the state of Georgia against Georgia Southern, Golden Eagles outscored the other Eagles 28-7 in the first half, get outscored 28-10 in the second, and a field goal was the difference. Golden Eagles hang on to win it 38-35. And, Dima, we can say what we want. We can say it was a bad second half. You can just give credit, I think you should, largely to Georgia Southern, who came back and defended their home field with every ounce of their energy. But the bottom line is the Golden Eagles are 4-2 and 2-0 in the league, and that is one heck of a long way from where we were this time last year.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest credits of the night goes to freshman Creighton Wilbanks, who nailed that 42-yard field goal in the third quarter.
100%.
First career attempt, 100%. Right down the middle. Creighton Wilbanks, so shout out to him because that ended up being the difference in the game. I think when we were watching that, we didn't think it was going to be the difference in the game, but it ended up being the difference in the game. But yeah, I mean, we heard all week, you know, it did, I think if they were up 42-0 and Georgia Southern came back, I still think Huff would have liked to have won 42-41. You know, any way you can get a road conference win on the road, a conference win on the road, you take it. Of course, we're probably going to talk about the second half. You know, we should equally talk highly about the first half if we're going to talk about the second half too, but you know, it was a road victory, and now we can start looking kind of ahead. You've gotten that road win off your back hump, after off your back, and now you start looking ahead, Bob and Kelly. Man, they're kind of set there, up here.
There we say.
Well, when you're talking about looking ahead, last year at this time, as Bob mentioned, let's be honest. We were waiting, couldn't wait for the season to be over.
You know, it was funny. So I went back because I was just interested to hear like our dialogue on the season. I went back to one of our game pick Friday shows, and it was like the game before like the second to last game of the season. And I had done all these picks before, you know, we got to the Southern Miss game. And I'm telling you, it was like, all right, now for the Southern Miss game. And all three of y'all, we had another guest on. It was an audible, oh boy, like an audible groan.
Yeah, like Fred Flintstone or the guy in the Homer Simpson.
Right.
But yeah, it was, we couldn't wait for the season to get over with, and now you can't hardly wait
for the next game.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. What a difference a year makes as far as that goes.
Two things really jumped out at me. I thought in the first half that was as good a defensive performance as I've seen Southern Miss put on in quite a number of years. I got a text from Marshant Kenny, who was pretty excited about the defense, and you couldn't blame him because they really looked good. And the other thing that really impressed me was Jeffrey Pittman. 31 rushing attempts, 141 yards. All those stats mean they're great, but there were just a couple of times he literally carried people on his back to get first downs that were crucial to the football. I don't think you can say enough about how that kid played last night.
No question. He was a difference maker. I thought it was interesting throughout the game, if you were watching the game, which I hope all of our listeners were, throughout the game, it seemed like he was just so patient. You know, he would run to his right, kind of wait for that hole to open up, then just burst up it for 5 or 6 yards. And then, of course, you can't say enough about the last carry of the game to seal the game where he got stood up in the backfield. I think it would have been like a one-yard gain. The entire offensive line just pulled him for 9 more yards to seal the deal there. You can't say enough about him. And like you said, the defense, critical turnovers. Yeah. Chris Jones was, I think the announcers literally said his name about 100 times during that game.
He's amazing.
Michael Montgomery was amazing. Josh Moten, of course, got an interception. The entire defensive line, especially in the first half, was in the backfield almost every single play. Like, French couldn't even, like, look up to his receivers. And I think that was kind of the difference in the first and second half. They weren't getting the same pressure. Georgia Southern was kind of getting the ball out a little bit quicker. But in that first half, Kelly, they just were in the backfield almost every play.
The Southern Miss first half was as near, and of course, I've never coached a game of football, but as a viewer, that was about as close to a perfect half of football as I've seen Southern Miss play in a long time. Yep. By the way, and I'm not going to say anything more about this, but the pass interference call on Moten was absolutely horrible.
Oh, that one hurt. Like,
forget that we won the game. Right. It was still a terrible
guy, call. Did you see the referee looked at him, and they all just kind of looked at each other, and then he was like, should I throw it? And then he just kind of like flopped it down. Like, he literally held his hand on his flag for like 5 to 10 seconds, and Moten and him were just eye contacting with each other. Then he was just like, If you had a video, you'd see me just kind of like flopping my arm. But
and I was kind of worried a little bit there toward the end because, you know, Marshall, Coach Huff was in charge of Marshall last year. They came in and lost, you know, that second half lead. But they played just a terrific first half. Certainly nitpicking here. I'd love to see him be a little bit more consistent, but I capitalize nitpicking and underline it 3 times. It was a great, great win.
One big difference to me in that first and second half, Georgia Southern on third downs in the first half, 0 for 7. In the second half, 7 for 8. So I think that was the biggest difference. Southern Miss was getting off the field on third down in the first half. No. They weren't as much in the second half. But again, we can nitpick like Kelly's saying, but I mean, we couldn't have scripted a better start to that game.
No. And give some credit to Georgia Southern. They came out and defended their field in the second half like a good program does. They've got a tremendous history on their home field. I don't really think it should have surprised anybody that they came out in the second half and got competitive.
No, but I think one of the underscores here is that you can't play that badly and be able to dig yourself out of a hole against decent teams. And Southern Miss is proving to be more than a decent team. They almost did pull it off, but Southern Miss held. Southern Miss did what it needed to do. And shout out to the offensive line, who has been much maligned over the last 2 years. And Coach Huff has said that he really likes the progress that the offensive line has made. And it just proved with the performance that Pittman put together last night, regardless of how many carries, what, about 150 yards on the ground?
141.
Okay, 141. That's a really good night.
Kelly, this is night and day from what we've seen for the past 3 or 4 years. I don't care what the finals. This is night and day difference. Everything about this football team is improved, better, and different than what we've seen, I would argue, since Todd Monken left.
And if they go now, we can talk about the Cajuns, although we're very early on.
One more thing before we get there.
Okay.
One of the biggest drives of the game to me was Georgia Southern, you know, they stopped Southern Miss after halftime, got the ball back, went down and scored. It was 35-20. It was 28-14. Georgia Southern got Southern Miss to a 3rd and 8. Southern Miss converted with a nice little run play by Braylon Braxton. They went straight down the field after that with a 8-play, 60-yard drive in 2.5 minutes to take a 21-point lead. It was right there. I think that response, even after Georgia Southern was able to kind of cut into the lead a little bit, we can talk about the second half, but the offense never really stalled, if that makes sense.
And then with the pressure on him, you bring in the kid, the kicker, who looks like he's 12, and he just delivers. I mean, kudos to him.
And some of those runs that you talked about with Pittman dragging guys with him, I'm seeing this trend in college football overall and the pros as well, which I think they should stop. Make the tackle. Quit trying to strip the football loose. I understand, obviously, why you're trying to do that, but the guy keeps churning his legs and gets another 5 to 7 yards while the guys are tugging at the ball.
Right.
Make the tackle.
And I've always compared Jeffrey Pittman as kind of like a bowling ball, because when he gets downhill, he's just always going to – you're not going to really knock him back ever. He's always going to roll forward for two or three more yards. So you have to go low on him. You notice, like, last night, anytime anybody went high on him, he just ran him over. So
And we've talked about the Southern Miss strength and conditioning program with Jack Duggan yesterday about how few Southern Miss guys are on the injured reserve list, so to speak. When you look at the Southern Miss football players this year, linemen, of course, offensively and defensively, they're just by trade. They're not big and cut. They're big and strong, but they're not cut. When you look at these other guys, the wide receivers, the running backs, the linebackers, man, they are studs. Those guys are strong and have been in the weight room, and that's a part too, Bob. It's been a difference night and day.
It is night and day difference. They're so much more physical than what we've seen the last few years. It was fun watching the game last night, and it's been a while since I've said that, but it was fun and entertaining.
So a week from Saturday, the Eagles return home, 2 weeks actually from Saturday, because they'll go to Louisiana a week from Saturday, but it'll be homecoming on campus, so you would anticipate a homecoming crowd would be larger anyway. But if they go to Lafayette and win that game and then come home, man, what a crowd it should be.
They would be playing for bowl eligibility in the middle of October.
Stop.
Are you okay, Bob?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem possible.
That's true.
I mean, it just doesn't
They'd
seem
be at
possible.
Home on homecoming playing for bowl eligibility if they beat Louisiana next week.
I feel like any minute I'm going to wake up and this is...
He's having to pinch himself. Is it not baseball season yet?
Well, I was just going to say, Bob's so excited he hasn't mentioned baseball yet.
One day close.
He's got on his baseball championship
That's
shirt.
Right. Still to come, Patrick McGee's going to catch us up on Demas Saints and his favorite quarterback in the league. He's better than we thought, I think.
Well, the Giants are better than we thought, and the Saints beat them.
I think the whole NFL is beginning to look a little different than we thought. Hey, Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but the most important person on your team is you. Get an annual physical, exercise, and be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. When we come back, we'll look around the league, see what's going to happen tonight, tomorrow. Hang on.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
And Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour. Former Southern Miss baseball star Matt Warren invites you to see him and his staff. They sell premium Goodyear tire products. They have a full-service auto and truck service department. Eagle Tire West, they're next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. They've been family operated since 1985. They also own Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. Mo Bay Beignet Company, great weekend to go enjoy some delicious beignets. They're at 2902 Hardy Street. You can check out their Facebook page. You can go to Mo Bay Beignet Company, Hattiesburg.com. And, of course, the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast is up and running. It's on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can ask Alexa or Siri to play it. And, of course, we are also on YouTube. All right, 38-35. Golden Eagle fans really get a kind of a relaxing weekend off. Their team has played, but there's going to be a lot of conference action. And now, Dima, we need to really start watching these teams in the West, because the Golden Eagles are in a position to – again, it's hard to believe. They're in a position to win the West, I think. And where do the teams they have to beat? Where are they this weekend, Demon? What are they going to be doing?
So there's a chance here for Southern Miss to go on a big run. And I say that with the most, like, don't get your head against, like, cart against ahead of the horse. Is that the correct expression?
Cart.
Cart ahead of the horse. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not as old. As
cardigan is a sweater.
Oh, you don't own any of those, do you?
No, I do not. It takes too many goats to make one sweater for me.
Well, you got plenty of donkeys, so.
Get on with it, Dima. I'll crack the jokes. All right.
Okay. Louisiana, who Southern Miss plays next week, is on the road at James.
Damn, Madison.
There you go. They're 19-point underdogs on the road at James Madison.
They're in trouble.
They're in trouble, needless to say. So there's a good possibility that Louisiana will be 2-4 hosting Southern Miss next week, who's 4-2, and Louisiana would, and then in that sense would be 1-1 in conference. The other team to watch out for is ULM at Coastal Carolina. Now, Coastal Carolina hasn't looked great this season, but they did beat South Alabama. So, you know, they've shown that they're kind of in that middle of the pack. So ULM is out there as a 2.5-point underdog. If ULM wins that game, they would join Southern Miss as 2-0 in the West, but they have to play Troy next week. So there's a possibility they host Troy next week. There is a possibility here of a 5-2 ULM, 3-0 in conference, coming to Hattiesburg against a Southern Miss 5-2 team, 3-0 in conference.
For homecoming.
That's a possibility right there. Now, the other game to watch out for is in the West is Troy at Texas State. Now, Troy hasn't looked great this season. Texas State's kind of looked shaky, so that's an interesting game as far as teams further along down the road. The point of all this being is there's only four teams right now in the West who don't have a loss: Southern Miss, Louisiana Monroe, Troy, and Louisiana. Louisiana is more than likely going to lose at James Madison this weekend. If we're all going to pick them, probably to lose. Troy on the road at Texas State, probably a loss, right?
Probably
a loss. UL Monroe, maybe a win at Coastal Carolina. I think that's approved two evenly matched teams. The point is, there is a possibility of Southern Miss being the lone standing undefeated team on the West side at the end of this weekend.
I think the scenario that we've thrown out is beginning to actually come into focus a little bit, that Charles Huff could go from conference champion, taking the worst team in the league and winning the conference championship the next year. And that would have to be a national sports story.
Here's the deal. I'm as non-biased as I can be on this show, because I cover the team from a non-biased perspective from the Pine Belt News. I like to be on this show, but I don't try to show any favoritism towards Southern Miss. I'm saying this from my non-biased lens. I think Southern Miss is easily right now the favorite to win the West. Easily.
I better start putting newspapers under Bob's chair, because I think he's going to soil himself if this goes.
I wish there was a video camera, because Bob has just been shaking his head this whole day. It's like he's waking up in a warped reality.
That last statement may have been a little too far, but maybe not.
Who's going to beat them?
I'm maybe not quite that
excited
about it. No.
No, but isn't it great for Southern Miss fans that you're, and we, even from a business standpoint, when we talked to Slade White yesterday. But he talked about how the proprietors in town are all upbeat and excited.
Sure, but the point of this is being like this. If Southern Miss is really 4-0 in conference, like after Louisiana and Monroe, we don't know what the rest of the schedule is going to lay out for these other teams. The point is, it gives them room that even if they were to drop a game at Arkansas State or whoever, if you drop one of those games, if you only have one loss, the other team has two losses, you're still going to get to the championship game.
To play James Madison.
I think Old Dominion. Next week, Old Dominion at James Madison is going to decide the East. I think
those two teams hate each other anyway.
Yes, that's going to be a phenomenal.
Nima, how do they determine where those games are played?
So it's based on overall record in the conference first, and then it's based on like a selection of games. Last year, I believe Louisiana and Marshall were both 7-1 in conference. Louisiana got to host because. Yeah. Let me research it while Kelly speaks. Yeah.
No, but that's right. Marshall had been on that winning streak, and we mentioned this yesterday, that when Marshall kicked it into gear last year, right about the same time. So this seems to be a consistent kind of a modus operandi that Huff and his staff, because now Southern Miss, you feel a lot better about where Southern Miss is now, winning after two
weeks
in a row.
This is the tiebreakers. So the head-to-head result, which Southern Miss and James Madison wouldn't play, nor would they play Old Dominion. CFP rankings and final weekend result. So if they're still tied and one team is ranked in the latest College Football Playoff Selection Committee rankings, that team would host. If that ranked team loses in the final weekend, a composite average of selected computer rankings is used. So
we still don't know.
Yeah, I think the point is that you really won't know until we get there. But There's obviously a lot of season left, so we don't jump in the horn of, could you imagine Southern Miss hosting the Sun Belt Championship?
No, I can't. And I think, too, we should comment on Braylon Braxton as well. I mean, you just got a steady quarterback, 19 of 28, 237 yards, two touchdowns. Clearly the team leader, clearly has a lot of composure, experienced, you can tell, runs the football now when he needs to, it seems. Throws the ball. Didn't throw the deep ball, I didn't think, terribly well last night.
But, yeah, he missed a couple of.
But other than that, I thought he played very well.
But those plays were open, Bob. Yeah. You know, they were open.
He just didn't hit
them. I think we should mention how great the wide receivers have been.
Yes.
I mean, you've talked about, you know, Braylon, of course, and he is what he is, but almost every receiver can just make a play. I mean, Coach Huff talked to it about it at a press conference a couple weeks ago. Like, you know, Chuck – Chapman, you know, he might not even have a role last week, but he might have two touchdowns in the next week. Like, any one of these receivers can have a breakout role, and they all can make really good catches. Carl Chester had a really nice catch at the end zone.
And what we can't overlook, though, is the improved line play.
Yes.
Both defensively and offensively, because they don't score those points without the offensive line playing as well as it did last night and blocking for Jeffrey Pittman, and I thought, particularly in the first half, and I think you mentioned it, Neiman, I thought the defensive line dominated the first half of the game.
They were all over JC French last night. The defensive line was, and the other thing about offensive line in particular, and this has been known for years, the only time you ever hear their name is when it's a false start or if they're holding. And they never they're the rented mules that just keep getting beat, and they never get their name on TV. They never get to say hi, Mom, you know, up into the camera. And the offensive line, man, good for them.
Yeah, and I think if I had to nitpick on anything outside of the consistency, like we already mentioned, I think there was just a little bit too many penalties last night for the Southern Miss that kind of stalled some drives, especially in the second half when they really could, you know, go for the jugular and just knock out Georgia Southern. There were some false starts. There were some, you know, holding calls, some illegal substitutions, so things like that that are just like they got to clean that up if they want to continue to win at this level.
I think it was just aggressive play, but Georgia Southern borderline – some cheap shots, it looked like.
They really did. Especially that. Remember that onside kick where the guy just.
They were getting a little mouthy.
Yeah, they really were.
But the fact that the Eagles, our Eagles, put up 38 points, and we mentioned one overthrow, that Braxton missed the target by about 2 yards or so, overthrow in the end zone. Another guy, he was a short, had to come back. The receiver had to wait and come back for it. That could have potentially. That could have been. You know, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts every day, it'd be Christmas. But that'd be 52 points that they would have put up on the road. It was just what a great game.
We thought was possible just with the way that Georgia Southern's defense had played all season coming up to that point. But I want to take y'all even back even further. I mean, think about how far this team has come even since they played Mississippi State. I mean, they looked good against Mississippi State. But something we talked about even after that game was like, that was a great start. Think about what they'll be in week 7 and week 8, and now they're basically there, and I think they're even going to continue to develop. The 4 wins is equal to the amount of wins this team has had in the past 2 seasons.
That's amazing.
And there's still half the regular season left.
Yeah. Man, what they wouldn't give to have that La Tech game back.
Man, I mean, they... you know?
And La Tech,
I'm not going to say what I was about to say, what they would have a possibility of if they would have beaten Louisiana Tech, because I think Bob would actually fall out of his chair. But they would have had a shot.
Yeah, and La Tech.
And everybody listening to this knows what I'm talking about.
La Tech went to Kennesaw State last night, and the Owls just ran right over them. So Louisiana, but that was a road game for Louisiana Tech.
Yeah. I'll tell you something else, guys, that's a little surprising, and I think we're seeing a changing of the guard in the National Football League. And the Philadelphia Eagles just got manhandled last night by the New York Giants.
Jackson Dart.
Who were manhandled the week before by the Houdats.
Yeah, yeah.
New Orleans beat the Giants.
I thought you meant the Bengals.
No, that's the Houdats.
They don't manhandle.
Houdats, New Orleans.
Patrick McGee from the Times-Picayune going to catch us up on the league and what's up next for the Saints. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I think we've talked out that 38-35 win. Pretty good, but fun to talk about that. DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. They're located on Hardy Street, and it is a state-of-the-art training facility for all sports, for kids, baseball, and softball, and for adults. Anything you want to be better at, they can get you in shape and get you being the best that you can be. MCS Home Center for home repair, home remodeling, home construction. I'll be doing that this weekend. Everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden is available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. MCS is Hattiesburg's new improvement home center.
Who's that calling, Bob? Is that the IRS again?
Yeah, that is a famous song from the past. Actually, I'm in good standing with them, Candy. Kelly, it's you that gets a little nervous when those names come up.
And you should have seen his face. His whole head just snapped.
Yeah. I meant to go back out to my car and get my sunglasses. I kind of adjusted to the light, and Kelly comes in one of his short outfits, and now I have this glaring headache from the
This might be the first time I've
standing?
Seen him.
How are you standing it right
He's got
there?
Dog hair all over his pants, too. That's what's
yeah, he is a fashion GQ model, there's no question.
And flip-flops.
Jealousy.
That's a pretty sight, isn't it?
Jealousy doesn't look good on either one of you guys.
Patrick, I know you miss being in Hattiesburg when you get to look at Kelly in shorts and flip-flops.
Oh, there's a lot of things that, well, I mean, I don't know how many things I miss about Hattiesburg. A handful of things, but Kelly ain't one of them.
Good grief.
Oh.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick McGee. He's just
wow.
He's just
Where's
like
our bell? We needed
like
a bell for
a
that
big
one.
Pinata, isn't he? It's just too easy. Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune, joins us. He's been out for the last couple of weeks. We're glad to have him back. And since we last talked, Patrick, the Saints won a game. I think the quarterback looks better than maybe some people wanted to give him credit for. How optimistic should people like Dima be after last Sunday?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the Seattle game went sideways, you know, for a team that's had tough luck and things really just kind of went south in a hurry. And I know people kind of panicked a little bit and, you know, me watching it thinking, oh, gosh, this is going to get really bad. They turn around and play, you know, give the Bills a good game on the road, you know, played them tough. And one or two more plays break their way, it could be, it could have been even a Saints win or at least a close game late into the fourth quarter. And then they turn around and beat the Giants, who the week prior had beaten the Chargers. And the Giants, 4 days later, you know, last night, turn around and beat the Super Bowl champion Eagles. So, yeah, it does feel like the team is trending in a much better direction currently. Obviously, the win, everybody's feeling much better. In terms of Spencer Rattler as quarterback, yeah, I think he's been good, you know. He's still missing on some big throws. They're not converting in the red zone is nearly as well as they should. And that could happen before you know it, you know, the next week or two, suddenly they're punching in the end zone. But if that's a trend, it's a little bit worrying, you know, if Rattler can't get the team into the end zone and inside the 20. He's still not, you know, placing the ball perfectly on some throws or really kind of leading guys into being open. But overall, he hasn't made a lot of the mistakes. He's made very few mistakes. Mm-hmm. He's just missed on some throws, and you know he's made him competitive in 4 out of 5 games, and that says a lot for a team that really is not loaded from top to bottom.
Right. And he has limited on-field experience, relatively speaking, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's going into his I guess what is his 12th start, if I'm not wrong. I think so.
Not right. That
you're look you're looking at a guy who's got nearly an NFL season under his belt as a starter. So I think what we're seeing here is basically who Spencer Rattler is. But it's for him, the next progression, his completion percentage has gone up pretty good bit this year. But he's really just got to really come through on some tough throws in critical situations. If he can get to that place, you're talking about a guy that can really, get you close to, playoff potential down the road.
Patrick, if we are still about 7 or 8 months away from the next NFL collegiate draft, do you think that the Saints would still have quarterback very high on their draft list, regardless of where they pick in the order? Or do you think that they're going to see how this plays out with Rattler and maybe go a different way?
I just think there's a lot to be decided there. There's still a chance Shutt gets on the field this season. I think Rattler has shown them something. I think quarterback is probably would still be a priority if that draft was held today, but it's still a long ways away. So, it's the boring answer, but it's really just TBD on that. Everybody thought this draft was going to be a really strong one for quarterback. I don't really know if that's the case right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's so many factors that play into that it's just wait and see.
I was going to say that I don't think there's a legendary college quarterback coming into this draft.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought it was going to be Arch Manning. I don't even know if he might not even get drafted this season.
I don't think he's going to enter the draft. I think he'll probably be around.
And I really think everybody's playing for second anyway, because the Buccaneers are proving to be the cream of the crop in that division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just the way it is. Atlanta's had a weird season. Yeah. Losing 30-0 to the Panthers. The Falcons are just kind of being the Falcons this year. You don't know what to expect from week to week. But the Saints could, I think they're probably right now maybe the third best team in division. I don't know. We'll see with time.
Well, the good news is they have 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks are somewhat winnable games against the Patriots at home, Bears on the road. They haven't even played a division game yet, so that's kind of crazy when you think about it.
Right. Yeah, Patriots are playing really well right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The advantage for the Saints, I think Las Vegas has Patriots as a 3.5-point favorite in New Orleans. But I expect it to be a competitive game.
Speaking of the Patriots, I think it's an interesting comparison. You look back at New England, and I think pretty much now we all know the secret there was the quarterback, Tom Brady. And you look at the Denver Broncos, and you really understand clearly what a great coach Sean Payton is. Because I tell you, Patrick, they look like to me they're on the up and up, and they're going to be a very competitive team all year. The Broncos.
Yeah, they caught a very bad break a couple of weeks ago, but they rebounded one in Philadelphia. Yeah, I'm never going to question Sean Payton's ability as a coach. I think, you think this last year with the Saints, that was not a great team, and they were very much in the playoff hunt going into that last, that last week of the season. Payton just knows what he's doing, and he's always going to know what he's doing. He could coach until he's 78, 80 if he wants to, and he's going to put a good team on the field.
Yeah,
and if I can take a fork in the road here for just a minute, the only other pro team in New Orleans, of course, the Pelicans. The NBA season begins here in a couple of weeks. What's realistic to expect, Patrick, from the Pelicans this season?
If they're healthy, there's a good chance there's a playoff team. Last year they were just not remotely healthy. Everybody was injured. Jordan Poole is now in the mix. You still got some injuries. Some guys returning from injuries. Murray, the point guard they got last year from Atlanta, he's somebody that's not going to be ready to go game one. But overall, they're still going to be very talented. They're not going to have a dominant five or a traditional five that's really going to dictate the game. Sadiq Bey, I think Willie Green had good things to say about him on their trip to Australia here recently. So if everything stays together, they're a team that's probably going to be in the playoffs, or at least be in the play-in, so it's going to be interesting to watch. If Zion's out there, 80% of the time, this team's going to win some games.
How popular is NBA basketball in New Orleans, Patrick?
Well, as long as things are going at a moderately successful rate, you go to a game and it's pretty well full. Mm-hmm. It's not like some, in places like Toronto, what better do you have to do? You're going to go to those NBA games every night. In New Orleans, there's so many distractions, and it's not a huge market on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's good support. It's not great support, but it's good support.
So they're satisfied. I mean, financially, they're there.
Yeah, they're making money. Mm-hmm. Now, in the long run, I think the Benson will probably sell the Pelicans, at some point. When that happens, I don't know. Whether it's the owner of Canes or some other people getting involved, I think, there are some people that would be interested in keeping the team in New Orleans. But it's a franchise that's an okay spot right now, but down the road, I know a lot of people are going to question that. But right now, everything's in a fairly good spot.
All right, my friend. I know Dima's contemplating buying a Rattler jersey.
I don't know why this keeps coming on me.
Is it a little early for that, you think, Patrick? Should he give him a few more games?
I think there was a little bit of a stir. If they didn't beat the Giants, maybe you see Shuck out there fairly soon. But they did win that game, and Rattler, played a role in that. So for now, Rattler's the dude. He's just got to start getting them in the end zone a little bit more.
Interesting matchup come this weekend, though, with an improved Patriots.
And I think sometimes we forget, other than the Cincinnati Bengals, these other teams are professional.
Correct.
And any week, they are pro players. They're playing for pride. They're playing for contracts. So if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, minding your P's and Q's, you can get beat.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that
this
year.
About that. All right, Patrick, good to have you back, man. Hopefully we can talk to you about the second win in a row when we get you back on next week.
All right, sounds good.
Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor, Times-Picayune.
What have I done to him?
There
is so much malice in Patrick's voice toward
me. Seems to be sort of a universal thing. Have you not noticed that, Damon?
I've noticed it on social media a lot.
See, I don't even know what that is.
All right, we're going to do picks when we come back and give you a wrap-up of what's going on the campus this week athletically. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the program. I'm sure it was rocking last night, and it will be all weekend. They'll have all the games on this weekend. Catfish Friday, of course. I guess you probably missed that by now, but they'll have great food all weekend and great drinks and just a lot of fun down at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Enjoy talking to Slade yesterday and really do appreciate everything that they do. As well as Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. All right, it's Friday afternoon. The Golden Eagles have played, but there's other games going on, obviously, around the country. And we always enjoy showing how little we know about college football. And so let's do the picks, Dima.
Yeah, let's start in the Sun Belt. We'll pick three of these Sun Belt games because I think they're close enough spreads to pick them. So App State on the road at Georgia State. Georgia State is a 2.5-point underdog at home against the Mountaineers.
Yeah, the Mountaineers are a little bit – they're not as good as I thought they would be this year. But Georgia State, they're just not playing well at all. I'll take App State to cover.
What do they bring to the league? Can anyone tell me that?
The city of Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. I guess that'd be it.
Their baseball park.
that especially.
That's one of Jack Duggan's favorite places.
That and the bird's nest. I'm going with App State.
I'm going with App State, too. I think they handle business there. Louisiana Monroe on the road at Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina hasn't looked great. They play better at home. ULM, do we believe in them? They're 2.5-point road favorites.
Last time when we were at Bocoma and we made the picks, I picked the Warhawks and they came through. I like them again. They win on the road.
I think so, too, and I think they cover the spread, and I think they probably win by 7 or 10 points.
I'm picking Coastal Carolina. I think ULM, kind of got beat up last week at Northwestern. I think it's a long trip out there to Conway, and I think Coastal gets on the right track there. All right, Troy at Texas State. Texas State's a 7.5-point favorite. Troy 3-2, Texas State 3-2, 54.5 over under.
They're at home. Texas State, maybe not as good as we thought they would be, but still pretty formidable team, and I like them to win the game.
And they're going to be upset after blowing that one last week at Arkansas State. I'll take the Bobcats.
Yes, I'll take Texas State as well. I don't think Troy's really that great. I don't think Troy or South Alabama are really that good. So
right.
I think Texas State should cruise there, 7.5-point favorites. All right, there's three ranked matchups, nationally ranked teams playing each other, so we will pick those games as well. Number one, Ohio State on the road at number 17, Illinois. Illinois is a 14.5-point underdog. The over-under is 50.5.
Dima always puts Ohio State game on those because those are his
guys. I'm just picking the ranked games.
Other than Southern Miss. Ohio State wins. I don't care who they're playing.
About 3 or 4 touchdowns. Yeah. Not even close.
Okay. I'm not going to pick the game. It's going to get clipped on Twitter or something. All right. We should have done a segment alert, actually, for this.
I don't even know what that means, clipped on Twitter. I don't know what that means.
Bob knows what it means.
I know all about Twitter. I've learned a lot about Twitter.
All right, Alabama, the number 8 team in the country, Alabama, on the road at undefeated Missouri, who's number 14 in the country. 3-point home underdogs are the Tigers.
Yeah, Alabama's starting to play a little bit better. Missouri doesn't know how to beat somebody like Alabama. I'll take the Tide.
There's a big difference in Alabama and Missouri.
Yes.
Alabama wins the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Missouri's like fake good right now. I don't really – 5. Yeah. Do you think they're going to beat Alabama?
The oddest team in the SEC. I've often wondered how in the world did Missouri
get in
end
there?
Up in the SEC?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. All right, this is the highest ranked match of the day is number 7 Indiana, undefeated Indiana, on the road at Oregon. Oregon is number 3. They are 7-point home favorites over the Hoosiers, 53.5 over under.
I like the Ducks. I think they're a pretty good football team. They're at home. Always interesting to see what their uniforms look like, and I think they win pretty easily.
Yeah, boy, I would like to see Indiana win that game, but I don't think they will. But the lock of the week.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Is Indiana covering?
No, the over on this game.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, I don't know. Oregon's defense is pretty good. Yeah, I think Oregon wins. I still don't think Indiana's equipped to, like, beat a team like Oregon, Ohio State, teams like that who are on the upper echelon of the Big Ten. But, yeah, there's a lot of good football games on this week, so Southern Miss fans will be able to sit back and watch football and, you know, it's always great to just sit back and watch football on a Saturday after you already know you've won instead of, like, thinking at that 6 p.m. game, like, oh, better win tonight, you know. But
how long has it been since we could say that? Just sit around,
week.
Relax, because you know you won. Yeah.
And did they set that time at Lafayette next week for 4 o'clock?
4 p.m. Right. On the road at UL next week, and I will more than likely be there covering that game. So.
Cool.
Good place to go eat. That is for sure. That is for sure.
Maybe we could get Demon with a live report next Friday, Bob. If he's
I won't be there then.
You won't be there that early.
Games.
Okay.
Speaking of high school games, big one right across the street from us. Petal at Oak Grove tonight in Oak Grove Stadium.
You hear that right here on 97.3, the voice of the Petal Panthers, and which wish the Panthers a lot of luck tonight. You know, they're just getting better and better and better and better under Morgan.
Their defense is really good. I think Oak Grove's offense is really good. It's going to be a great match.
And listeners, you did hear that correct. We are in the shadow of Oak Grove High School, but this is the voice of the Petal Panthers.
And we're happy to be the voice of the Petal Panthers. Great program, great facilities, and a good, good man in Marcus Bowles.
I heard there was a certain Bob Ghetto doing the color tonight. I don't know.
I heard he got banned.
Oh.
I heard Elon got a hold of him.
I thought he was doing color.
Took care of childishness. All right, that wraps up the week. I'm gone next week. Thank God.
I think a lot of listeners think that as well.
They probably do too.
Yeah, but the worst news is I'm going to be here.
Oh, Lord. That's why I'm going to be gone. Dima and Kelly will take care of things all next week, and I know they'll do a great job. We'll be back Monday. Thanks for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the sea.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus,
a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.